Hey, Brian Beeler here with Storage View, and welcome to the podcast. This week we've got Rob Hunsaker, product manager over Dell EMC. And Rob's here to talk a little bit more about the Dell EMC Cloud Tiering Appliance, or CTA. We've gone into it in detail in a video. We wrote a guide. We've got an infographic. And now we've got Rob on to talk through it a little bit more. So for any of you out there that are Unity or Unity XT customers, this is a must-listen to episode to learn a little bit more about this Cloud Tiering Appliance. It's free. It's easy to use. And should be something that that most Unity customers are checking out. So let's bring in Rob and get going. Today on the podcast, we have Rob Hunsaker, product manager over at Dell EMC. Rob, thanks for jumping in.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Brian. I'm excited. This is my first podcast.
Oh, really? Don't worry. Mine too. It'll be fine. So you're in the Boston area. I understand you're a transplant from out west, though. That's a big move. What's the difference between you're in Washington area and Boston? I'm curious.
Yeah, well, they're pretty similar cities by and large. You know, they're very tech focused communities, about the same size, both on the water, both really good food, both good weather sometimes, not so good weather other times. But yeah, I like both overall, and I think they both have their advantages.
Are there, so you were in Seattle then, I take it. Did you have, like bears or anything? What's scary about Seattle aside from, arguably some of the protesting?
The rent prices, I think, are probably the scariest thing. there wasn't any protesting going on when I was there, but, yeah, they, I used to work downtown, and so I lived downtown right in the city. And so it was always exciting, always something going on.
Yeah, I was there back when the Wall Street protests were going on. That was pretty special. Those dudes camped outside the convention center, made for a bumpy path in and out of there for, I can't even remember what show that was for. Gosh, it's been a while, but I digress quite a bit. Okay, so product manager, Dell EMC, what are you focused on specifically? Set the table for us.
So I am a product manager for mid-range storage, and I spend most of my time nowadays actually working on PowerStore file capabilities and functionality. But today, I believe we're here to talk about CTA, which is another one of our great products that I'm the product manager of that really helps our customers try and leverage the cloud in their environment. Is really a way that we see helping customers optimize their costs in their environment for Unity and Unity XT.
All right, well, let's get into that real quick. Before we do that, though, and since you know the product line well, talk to us a little bit about the launch earlier this year for PowerStore and what that does in terms of positioning Unity XT. If you could just reset that product lineup for us, that would be good, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's an important question. And so PowerStore, if you may not have heard, if you're not familiar, is the new next-gen mid-range platform for Dell. It is several years in the making. When Dell and EMC combined, we both had several mid-range platforms that were all kind of competing with each other. And it was very confusing for customers, and they had various pros and cons. And we wanted to consolidate them so that we can focus all of our engineering effort and go to market around one platform to make it as good as possible. And that's PowerStore. And that's the really what I would say to be the long-term future of us in mid-range storage, both for block and file. But Unity XT very much still plays a place in our portfolio for today, because there are some functionality in PowerStore or in Unity XT that isn't in PowerStore yet. Right. And so we are still offering, you know, we're not forcing customers to adopt PowerStore. We're not end-of-lifing Unity XT. We still have a lot of huge install base, a lot of customer asks. And so we have a fairly long roadmap still, too, for Unity XT, where we're continuing to deliver features and functionality. And, you know, if you're a customer and you have, you know, a question of which platform you should be on, I would absolutely recommend working with your local sales team on that. And they'll know, you know, all the ins and outs of both platforms, and they'll be able to make a recommendation for you based on that.
So, yeah, I mean, logistically, it makes sense, right? Because there's... you know, all the old EMC gear you're talking about, a lot of the old Dell gear. I mean, there's still, we still see people with, gosh, probably not Clarions anymore, but definitely Compellent out there quite a bit. And the Equalogic has a pretty big footprint. I mean, I think a lot of those guys were waiting to figure out how this portfolio was going to come together before, you know, making a decision about where to go next. But in between, you did Unity and Unity XT, and we've had several of those platforms. And one of my favorite things was UI refresh that system got. So that it certainly feels modern and acts modern. And I guess, you know, based on what you're saying, sounds like you've got another, you know, while to go on that run to keep that product in market.
Yeah, absolutely. And Unity XT, it has a lot of features. We just did a hardware refresh on Unity last year. So, you know, it's not something that's extremely long in the tooth. I mean, it still very much meets customers' performance requirements and feature requirements, and will continue to for several years, probably still.
So on a go forward, then, as we think about Unity XT, will that be mostly a hybrid solution, do you think? Or what's the window in terms of configuration where you think that'll have ongoing success?
Hybrid in terms of block and file, or hybrid in terms of not
sorry.
All flash?
Disk and flash.
You know, if we look at how people are buying Unity, I think, you know, we have a pretty solid mix of both. And I would expect, you know, something I spend a lot of time looking at is file features and file functionality, Unity XT. That's one particular area where they are quite a bit stronger than PowerStore still. And so, you know, those customers do tend on file to prefer hybrid a bit more often than you would see on the block side. But I would definitely say that we're still going to be offering both.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Well, so I know one of the things we want to talk about is the CTA, as you introduced, or the cloud tiering appliance for those not up on the acronyms. And I think it's interesting, and that's why I ask about the hardware configurations, because part of the promise of the cloud has been to help extend your data center's footprint without having to you know, use a bunch of gear, although you certainly can now with hybrid and on-prem and all these other iterations of cloud. But when you think about the cloud tiering appliance, it's something that's been out there for quite some time, and you'd have to give me the history lesson, but I know the version we took a look at was 13, so there's obviously 12 that came before that, or most likely 12 that came before that.
Right.
So how long has this thing been around, and where did it start as we look back through the history of the organizations?
Yeah, so it's been around for quite a while, and to your point, yeah, it is a very mature product. It's actually a funny thing to be a product manager of, because people always reach out to me. It's something that I would consider to be a really hidden gem of the Unity feature set, because it is included in the Unity license at no additional cost. And especially when you're talking about cost optimization, it's really something that allows customers to get data off of their expensive, you know, all flash array and get it to a cheaper destination where they don't need that same level of performance or even access. And it really has two high level features of it, one for block and one for file, where we're archiving snapshots on the block side and we're tiering files on the file side. And they're both, you know, fairly different feature functionality sets, but they really have the same goal, which is why we included it in one product. And, you know, looking back at the history, it's something that we actually used to charge for, and people would pay money for this license because they would, you know, calculate the value of, you know, paying us a license for CTA and then moving off of their, you know, more expensive storage to a lower tier. And it still, even when it costs money, made sense for them. And now that it's free, I think, you know, I would definitely like to see more customers adopting it and using it to really, you know, help drive down those costs in their environment.
Yeah, actually, so, you know, we do have a video we did with you guys last week. It's about a 15-minute walkthrough on how it works, showing the block and the file options and all that sort of thing, the policies. So if anyone wants more information on really the nitty-gritty of how it works, you can check that out on our YouTube channel. You know, it's I don't want to get too far into the technology because we've done a lot of that documentation already, but from installing the OVA to backing up you know, snapshots or setting up the tiering for file, I mean, we're talking about minutes. And we did it with Azure, but talk about the other supported options.
Yeah, so we support a variety of different destinations. Really, most of the main cloud providers that you would expect to be supported. And in addition to public cloud, we also offer our private cloud object storage platform natively from Dell, which is ECS, which actually we find is the most popular destination for CTA. Customers found that, you know, when they look at the economics of the whole solution, that if they already have that data center infrastructure set up where they have Unity, it generally makes more sense to just put an ECS next to it, which has, you know, lower cost per terabyte than you would normally find with Unity, tier the data off from Unity to ECS, because you get several advantages from that. The first advantage being performance. We've ran some performance testing in our lab, and this isn't exactly a fair comparison, but when you're recalling data, whether it be files or snapshots in large amounts, if you're recalling them from the public cloud back to your data center, you're gonna have some natural latency and distance, right? So we find ECS is normally about 3 times faster than public cloud, and that's more or less, it's not a poor reflection on the public cloud. It's just that it's sitting next to the Unity array in the same data center. So customers are able to get a much higher level of performance. And also from a supportability standpoint, customers like being able to call one place for the support. So, you know, sometimes when you're up in multi-vendor scenarios, there could be finger pointing back and forth as to where the problem is. But if you have an end-to-end Dell solution, we're going to be in a much better position to troubleshoot any problems that may arise in the unlikely event that they do.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, anytime you're going to talk about leaving the data center, you've got other things at play, right? The network, the switches, the, you know, whatever. And there's rarely major cloud outages, but it happens, right? So I guess if there's a concern about accessibility, having it on-prem is a nice alternative. Let me ask you this, though, because with that ECS, I find it a little bit surprising, but, you know, listening to you talk about why they're doing it, you know, makes some sense. But what about the cost metrics? Because, of course, that's a lot of why people like the cloud, to be able to eat it as a as an OpEx expense. I know Dell Finance will do some creative things with some of the systems. Do you guys do a consumption-based model for ECS, or how does that work when you think about adding that to the data center?
Yeah, I can't say I'm too familiar with our consumption-based models on ECS. It's kind of on the other side of the world that I work on. It's outside of the mid-range. But I do believe we have consumption models, and I know that it's priced from an economic standpoint to be competitive with the public cloud. And a lot of customers do adopt it, not just as a tiering use case from CTA, but as their primary object storage on-prem. And if you think about consumption-based storage, for the most part, especially when you're talking about cold data, you're not seeing a lot of variability in your data set, which is where consumption-based really comes into play. When you're talking about storing data that's cold, it's probably going to stay at a certain size and grow roughly linearly. The whole point that you're tiering off your storage array is this isn't something that's spiking up and down wildly. And actually, from a use case perspective, if that's what's happening, you probably shouldn't be tearing it off your Unity array anyway, because we really want to make sure that the data you're tearing off is cold so that you're still getting a level of performance for your users that are expecting it from the primary Unity array.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's interesting. So as you've modernized this, I know the big deal in the current version is a UI related update. What's been the feedback from customers that either that, you know, maybe if they're not using it and they're new to it, but what's the initial feedback from your updates in 13?
There's been a lot of positive feedback from the new UI. We really took the approach. We have, you know, somewhat of a Dell standard for how our products should look and feel, and we're really making an effort to similarize them across the portfolio. So, you know, if you look at CTA, it looks very familiar to the new PowerMax UI or the PowerStore mm-hmm. UI, just from a graphical standpoint and a organizational standpoint. So that if you are a user of PowerMax, which many of our customers purchase, you know, a variety of our different product lines, that similar look and feel allows for additional operational efficiency. And the CTA UI, you know, going from Flash to HTML5 is a pretty big upgrade. And I think it's something customers have been asking for a while. So we're happy to be able to deliver it.
Yeah, shocking that they'd want to get off a Flash interface. I mean, that's such a emerging trend in the latest design, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I know. The Flash thing's it is frustrating. There's still, of course, a number of those left over, though, that that still need to be updated. But yeah, I mean, it feels a lot like Unisphere and, you know, some of the other things that we've worked with over the years. And it's a good progressive update, I think, you know, just from, like I said, we were operational in minutes, not hours. And part of that is a good, clean, intuitive UI gets you there faster. So customers are happy with it. What do you have any interesting use cases or things your customers are doing with it that maybe you expected or maybe not? I mean, it's a pretty straightforward, but I'm curious to see if any sort of surprising use cases popped up along the way.
Well, I guess one thing that's surprising to me is the type of customers that use it. I would think in general, you know, when you're talking about utilizing the cloud, you would think that that's really the more modern, cutting-edge type customers. But one of the things we see on CTA is that actually a lot of the customers are some of our biggest customers. And when customers turn it on, they go big. So we don't really think of CTA as something that you utilize if you're, you know, a small traditional mid-range customer where you have a single storage array that suits all of your needs. You're probably not going to have enough data to justify, you know, turning CTA on and tearing off 5-10 terabytes of data. When customers use it in the way we really think it should be used in most scenarios is if you're tearing off a lot of data, like hundreds of terabytes. I know of multiple customers that have moved off hundreds of millions of files that are teared off through CTA through a single Unity array. So if you think about, you know, even like an edge use case, for example, where you want an all-flash system where you can write data quickly, but it may be something that you're not accessing very often or may not need to get to for a long time. Maybe it's something like log files or financial data of some kind. You can set up CTA so that it tears off that data that doesn't really need to be accessed, but you want it if it's there, and you can really satisfy a huge storage footprint off a single 2U storage appliance with tearing that data off.
Yeah, that kind of surprises me about the scale, and I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, I can't help but to feel that if you're putting this out at the edge or in a small office, that there could be a sales motion that says, hey, customer, you know, get this in a, you know, little flash footprint or whatever for your active data, and don't overspend on capacity or storage now, burst that out into the cloud with CTA. You know, I would think we'd see maybe a little bit more of that, but perhaps maybe there's more apprehension in those types of deployments to use the cloud. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think there is still some apprehension for those use cases around using the public cloud. But, you know, back to our conversation earlier, a lot of those same customers that are using it in the financial industry, and actually some of our biggest customers are government customers, federal government customers around the world, that are storing documents that have infinite retention policies. So if
that's longer than most.
Yeah, exactly. And if you have an infinite retention policy on any type of document, and this actually goes for both the block and the file use case, where if you have to keep something forever, whether that be, you know, some image of an old database or an old PDF that you don't even really know what it is, you can set up some pretty simple policies from CTA where that data will be tiered off automatically, and you're not talking about just shifting your storage from one location to another. You're still maintaining access on the source array, so that if the end user, whoever it may be, because a storage admin in a lot of cases doesn't really know what the data is. And so it allows them to have that kind of easy management without actually having to manually move any data.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, and you got me thinking about the migration use case here too. It's not something that I don't think you guys lead with a lot, but this tool can be useful in a storage migration. I don't know if you're seeing customers use it that way or not, though.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly customers do use it that way. I wouldn't say it's the primary use case by any means. Actually, when we're moving off of competitor arrays, sometimes people will use CTA for that. If you're coming from a competitor to Unity, you can use CTA. But if you're going from VNX to Unity, for example, if you have a refresh in family, we have an integrated migration tool that actually takes CTA into account so that you have that migration built in without having to use CTA. And it's a bit more seamless for the rest of the files and the environment and the permissions and everything than if you use CTA. So there it is an option, but we do have other options too.
So CTA is tightly knit into Unity and then some of the legacy platforms, as you were saying, like VNX. What do you think the go forward is? Is this something that you see Dell EMC adding to the other storage products? I mean, what's the deal in terms of the forward-looking vision for CTA?
Well, I got to be careful what I say on that front because
no one's listening. Don't worry about it.
You're trying to get me in trouble, but yeah, I can give some type of answer to that question because I do think it's important. So the go forward from Unity, right, is eventually going to be PowerStore. And we will have some type of migration path from Unity to PowerStore that would be, you know, seamless and integrated into the similar type migration path that we have from Unity block to PowerStore, that same type of process where it's fairly seamless for the user. But whether we're actually going to utilize CTA, I think is, you know, something that I can't really talk about too much, but I think we'll be able to offer customers something equal or better. I think is let's put it that way.
Okay, well that's good. I mean it's a really neat little tool. It's hard to overstate that really. I mean it's just so flexible and easy to use. And I'll be honest, I don't even know if before we did this, we knew it was there. So, I know that education is part of the challenge. And one of the things that I think, you know, that maybe you guys, I don't know if struggle is the right word, but the challenge is anytime you go drop a new product, even like PowerStore, when we did our briefing with Caitlin, we spent, I think, over an hour talking about all the features and capabilities, and this is different than the prior version that was in, you know, Unity or VNX or whatever, because we've got that legacy knowledge. When you drop a press release or communicate to your customers, hey, we've got this new thing or this new tool or capability, like you've got 87 bullets you want to cover, you know, so which, you know, where is CTA or any other piece of functionality on that list? And there's so much there that I think sometimes these things get swallowed or just kind of hidden behind a broader cloud strategy to get it to stand out. You know, I don't know, you're in the product marketing group, so you tell me how much of a challenge that is versus my perception of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, highlighting what's important to our customers is, you know, really the job of our sales team, because we really do have so many different offerings that we can't present everything. And sometimes I'll be given, you know, say an hour with a customer to present PowerStore. I'm like, okay, well, what can I really cover in an hour? I need to really find out what their problems are, what their use cases are, what they're looking to solve, and what they're looking for from a product from us. And once we find that out, hopefully we can, you know, fit that to their needs. But yeah, I mean, absolutely, our sales team that has to keep all of these things in track has a massive, massive challenge of being able to do that, and keeping all these products straight and learning about all the features and functionality of them. And it's a similar problem that you would see with something like AWS, right? They get criticized a lot for having a billion different services.
5,000, yeah.
Yeah, 5,000 services. But when you're solving lots of customer problems, it's actually a good problem to have, because if a customer comes to us and says, hey, I have this problem, how can you help me solve it? We have a lot of tricks in our bag to bring out, and CTA is absolutely one of them. And so the way we really try and articulate that for customers is, if you have a lot of cold data that you're not planning on accessing, or both either for block or file, that you want to keep for a long time, that you're not planning on deleting, and it doesn't need a high level of performance, you can set automated policies on CTA that'll tier that data off from your primary Unity array to the cloud destination of your choice. And one thing they really like on the file side is that we tier that data off on the individual file basis. So we're not looking at the underlying data blocks. There's no real mystery about what's being tiered to the cloud. You can go into CTA, you can look at what files have been tiered off, you can set really granular policies. You can say something as specific as, only tier off PDFs that haven't been accessed in 20 days over 5 megabytes, right? So that you're not wasting a lot of time tiering off small files that aren't taking up much capacity. Or, you know, you may have a certain type of data set that you want to keep on the array. So it really allows for a high degree of granularity and functionality based on what you want it to do.
Well, yeah, being able to go after those beefy files and drop them in a policy engine makes a lot of sense and simplifies the deployment. Do you guys have any, obviously through the policy engine, you can make whatever you want. Do you have any preset prefab policies for, you know, here's a dozen to get you started customer, or how does that work after day one deployment?
It's all user driven. So we do have a wizard for creating policies that is pretty simple to use. I mean, it's not a huge process creating a policy. It takes, you know, 30 seconds to a minute.
Right.
And there, it does have those specific options. So things like file type, file size, other different file attributes like access time, modified time, create, things like that, that you can trigger off of. And so it's just a drop down that they can choose whatever they want, because we found there isn't much commonality in customer environments between what they want. It's not particularly safe to say what one customer wants is what another one wants. So we like to give them as many options as possible.
So what, going back to thinking about the types of customers that are offloading to the cloud through CTA, are they pretty experienced cloud users? I'm just wondering what you guys are telling your customers, or maybe what your customers are telling you in terms of costing for the cloud, and having a real good understanding of, if I tier out hundreds of terabytes or, you know, whatever the numbers are, what's the cost impact, and how do I weigh that against my overall investment in infrastructure and services? What does that look like? What's the level of sophistication there?
Well, I mean, that can be a bit of a complicated question. Fortunately, you know, standard object storage pricing is one of the less complicated things when you talk about cloud pricing. It's simple compared to some of the other pricing models they may have. But from a TCO standpoint, I don't think most of our sales team is really going to try and dive into that with a public cloud, which may be why we see such a higher adoption with ECS on CTA, where our sales team would be able to provide that total TCO of the solution with, you know, Unity, with CTA tiering to ECS. And we could tell you exactly how much that's going to be. And you're not going to have that huge variability, which is something I forgot to mention previously, of egress fees, right? So that's right. That's another thing, is once you're tiering to the public cloud, you would have, you know, pretty substantial egress fees depending on how often you are recalling data, which isn't a factor with ECS.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Let me ask you this too then. I'm not even sure everybody knows this either, but there's a Unity VSA, so you can deploy a virtual edition, and CTA works just fine there, I believe. But there's also a Cloud Unity with AWS, I think, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So tell us what you're looking at, or what customers are looking at with Unity in AWS, and how that works.
So Unity, you can stand a Unity up. We have on the VMware Cloud, the Unity Cloud Edition, and we actually normally position that for traditional file use cases, is I think the main use case we see for the Unity VSA, because the public cloud options for, you know, a multi-protocol file system are a bit less mature than you would see with some of their other offerings. So this would allow you to stand up, you know, a fully featured file system in Unity in the cloud with, you know, variable pricing and, you know, all the benefits of the cloud. And it's more or less a fully functioning Unity array. You can replicate to and from it from an on-prem Unity. And actually, you can even stand up CTA in the cloud, and you can tier data from your cloud edition of Unity to Amazon S3 with CTA, where you'll see an even bigger cost benefit savings there than you would on-prem, because they're charging you, you know, a variable rate for the underlying storage of the Unity Cloud Edition. So getting the data off there is an even, you know, easier TCO calculation, where you're going from, you know, the expensive Elastic Block Storage that Unity would be sitting on top of into, you know, the cheaper S3, and you can even use some of the colder tiers of S3.
Well, yeah, I was setting you up for glory there, because I was going to, you know, thinking about tiering from the cloud to the cloud. What? Okay. Well, yeah, it makes a great deal of sense when you look at the cost of EBS and what you can do, like you said, in S3. I mean, it's actually a pretty big deal. So again, that goes to the sizing of how you do this thing and in the AWS cloud, and then, you know, how much capacity you need and that sort of thing. Yeah, that's pretty neat. And I'm a little surprised we haven't seen more of that type of adoption in the cloud with a solution like this that gives you, like you said, replication and all these other benefits around the core platform itself. That's pretty cool. So before I let you go, I do just want to, you know, say thanks for joining in here. I think, you know, the CTA appliance is great. Unity's solid. Everything, you know, when we've had them in, always there for us. So that's great. And good to see the growth of the platform in the new to us, even though it's been there for years, the cloud tiering appliance. So Rob, really appreciate you joining in, and your first podcast, it went okay. Did you feel all right?
Yeah, I think I did okay. I mean, it's hard to follow Caitlin Gordon. She's I'm a pretty big drop off from her probably for you. I don't know if your podcast is doing okay, but I wasn't nervous about doing this at all until I listened to her, and I was like, man, she's really good. She really talked up PowerStore and sold the value really well. And, you know, 30 minutes, all the features she was able to talk about. And yeah,
she's fast. She talks fast. You know, she's got to get those things in. And then, you know, she gets all hung up on the sadness of Brady and Gronk leaving. But, yeah, that we did talk about PowerStore too. So you did. All right. You have any football advice or comments you want to throw in on before you go?
Oh, well, Russell Wilson's the best quarterback in the league. Best player,
for crying out loud. All right. I'm done with you now. Rob, thanks again. I appreciate it. Great conversation.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Rob for being on the podcast today. Another great conversation. We'll be back with another pod next week. Hit us up on any of our socials. Our Instagram's really popping now. So if you want to see photos about what's going on in the lab, the gore, the ups, the downs, the tears, then that's a good place to be getting looks at the lab and what's coming up in the review queue. Also, feel free to drop us an email anytime, info@storagereview.com, or hit us up on the subreddit, reddit.com/r/storageview. Thanks. Bye-bye.